still studying what it means to continue with him in his temptation. Part of that temptation, or his test, is the reproach of men towards him. And so we started on Hebrews 13, so let's go there. Just one verse, Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, let's look in verse 12 too. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate or without the camp. Golgotha was across the Kidron, or the valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna, on the other side, and it was a rather dark, dank, I guess, I don't know what the word is. Anyway, it looked like a skull. But when it says here that we bear his reproach outside the camp, the word reproach is used almost more than any other word in the Bible. I mean, when you hear the word reproach, it's hard to know if the difference between reproach and rebuke. But reproach is the whole gamut of things that come against you from other people. And the mystery of God is that in order for us to bear his reproach outside the camp, number one, we first have to be totally identified with the doctrine into which we've been delivered, and we must believe it with everything in us, and then we will then bear his reproach outside the camp, because you can't help but talk about it. There's in the Hallel, and where is it? Where does it come from? Anyway, it's got the John Song says, "I believe, therefore do I speak." I mean, I tried not to speak about it, and it you can't help it. But you don't speak about it, getting people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, because then they're going to be. They just think you're a fool for that. But to bear his reproach is to sit in the office of Elijah, declaring, as John the Baptist did, that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. In other words, the emptiness of human effort and human thought has to be declared before you are suffering his reproach outside the camp. I don't know how often I've said that recently, but you can't say it enough. Bearing his reproach outside the camp. The camp, our camp, is this community. Do we bear his reproach outside the camp? We bear our own, you know, the battles you have with your mind and all that, but that's not this. Bearing his reproach outside the camp, by definition means from people external to your camp. And if you do that, you will be hated of all men. Because you are, in effect, mocking all the value systems of any time and place in the universe. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. That's not talking about speaking in tongues. The word stammering means mocking. Mocking lips. That's all God has done to us is mock us. But we think, oh, if something goes wrong, we automatically think it's something evil, and if something goes right, we might give God the blessing. He doesn't give a crap about all that. Can you understand? He doesn't even see the human race. Unless this human race he's seeing outside of time. So if a person has come into the mystery, then he's seen because God has engineered everything your whole life.
Engineered everything to the point of being full and complete.
To the point of bearing his reproach outside camp, being fully tested. You're presenting your body the living sacrifice that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That which was proven in him must be proven in you. You must continue with him in his test, not yours. Your test is meaningless. Let's look at some more reproaches. Let's just look at a bunch of them. Let's go back to. Well, anybody want to talk about this? Do you understand it?
I'm interested in getting more specific on his reproach.
Well, and that's what we're going to do.
I know, that's what you just said, and I've got to go along with that. And his reproach had to be the hard words he spoke that destroys the flesh, the human nature.
Yeah, talking to the Jews that believed on him and saying, you are of your father, the devil?
Yeah.
I mean, you travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. So maybe
things he said.
Right.
And then
That caused the reproach.
Then the reproach was, this guy's crazy.
Or this guy's dangerous.
Yeah.
Or he's crazy, or he's a fool. His family thought he was crazy. Even after his mother had been, and dad, or stepdad, had been visited by the angel Gabriel. Yeah. But time, just as you were, you can go for a while, and pretty soon you're in a rut. Because you haven't bared his reproach. You haven't been bearing his reproach outside the camp. That's what makes life exciting. Otherwise, you just operate like any other Gentile. I mean, putting God's name on it, but he didn't give a flip about that. He doesn't care what the outside says. He cares what's going on inside. You are the temple of the living God. You are here for one reason. To continue with him in his test. For no other reason. Well, a lot of times you bear his reproach inside the camp, but that's another story. All right, let's go to Isaiah 50-something. Yeah, that's a good one.
51.
let's start verse 1. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are born, are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. That my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. And it goes on, awake, awake. Wake up! You shall not fear the reproach. Now this can't be faked. You can't go around and say, okay, I'm going to go blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go this and this. I'm going to talk to this person. It has to be spontaneous. Whatever isn't spontaneous is not a faith. You know, you're sitting in the chair by faith. You got more faith in the chair than you do in the Father. Faith isn't getting, it's being taken. But it has to be, you have to be took totally. But it's, do you understand? It's only by proclaiming this mystery that outside the camp that you bear his reproach. Well, you're used to.
And that's proclaiming. That's
well, it's much more than that. It's just whatever happens. But it's you never again try to be. You just be. Mm-hmm. You forget everything and all the little rules of culture and niceness and behavior, and you just be. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. Don't care. You go without knowing, not just in a trip, but you go each second without knowing. That's true faith. It's the verb.
You cast in your imaginations, good and bad, and you no longer esteem.
You bring every thought into the captivity of God, of Christ. All right, let's look at some more. Go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Start in verse 5. who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Who
where,
shall?
Where are you?
Chapter 4, 1 Peter, verse 5.
You said chapter 5,
4, verse 5.
So chapter 4, verse 5, okay.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand, is here. That's what at hand means. It's here. The end of all things is here. And my God in heaven, if every writer of the New Testament believed the end would be in their lifetime, what has happened? Rebellion has happened by his people. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. That's agape. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. If you be reproached for the name of it doesn't count to be reproached for you. You're reproached for the name or for the name's sake. Let's go to Isaiah 11. Sorry, we're going back and forth. Let's go to Proverbs 14. We haven't done that one, have we?
I don't think so. Proverbs, no. Not yesterday, not Friday, not today.
Proverbs, not Proverbs.
Yep. Let's start in verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him shall hath mercy on the poor. The wicked or the wicked one is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It should say to nations. It's the same. It's righteousness exalted of the nation, but sin is reproach to the nation. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. The word nation in Hebrew is an interesting word. It can be used to say people, or it can be defined as people of a group, or it can be the whole nation. And so here we have righteousness exalteth a nation, a seder, a community. Righteousness exalteth the community, but sin is a reproach to the community. Now here, the essence of sin is seeking for self, because that's exalting self. That's the fruit of the fall. And so it's even if you're trying to do it in the name of God, you can't exalt yourself in the name of God. It can't happen. You can't try to be somebody in the name of God. It can't happen. You are somebody. You can't try to be somebody. But that cannot happen without repentance or everything else. And this is why you know, you still know, I'm sure all of you know, that if I had my mind's way and still remain a believer, I would be living in a cave. But the mystery isn't my Father, it's our Father. And a Seder and a community is seen as one. And we can only be as screwed up as the most screwed up one, or we can only be as good as the most screwed up one, because it's a we, it's an us, it isn't a me. But even our repentance becomes me-centered. We have to have in mind the repentance of a community and exhorting one another daily, so that that mystery of God never leaves our consciousness. Because as I've told you so often, unfortunately in the human race, the evil one is the default position of your mind, because he's raised himself from the deadly head wound. You have to put him in jail. You have to put him in chains. Or he's already there, but not in you. Satan, you're... You are the instead of Christ. And that instead of Christ must be put in chains, must be in the deepest recesses of your being. He's not dead, because God is using him so that you would continue in the faith of Christ and in the temptations of Christ. But you've got to see it. You've got to see. You've got to remember. There's no good thing that can come from your mind, because that is the evil one. All right, let's go to another one. We'll get one more. We'll do one more.
Yeah, our mind is our path of least resistance.
Well, your mind is your path of no reproach.
It's the convenience.
All right, let's go to... give me 1 minute. We don't have to give me anything. I'm going to take a minute.
We freely give you our time.
Yeah. This is a good one. Hebrews 11. So all of the first,
all the faith, all the saints.
The first part of Isaiah, it's just the history of the men of faith.
You mean Hebrews?
I mean Hebrews, yeah. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is a history of the men of faith. Let's start in verse 23. We're now at Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. See, again, this is this faith speaking our eyes. They were afraid of the king's commandment, otherwise they wouldn't have put Moses in the water. But faith saw that act as not afraid, but an act of faith. Because you have to see from the top down. So let's keep that in mind. In verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, again, we have this deal. For 40 years, Moses was trained up in the temple. He was legally the next Pharaoh. That's what it means when he was son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was trained in all the mystical arts of Egypt, all the crap that people now believe about the Book of the Dead. He was trained to be the next Pharaoh. And then he began to have an understanding of who he was, as he was an Israeli. And he saw one of the Egyptian soldiers beating one of his people, and he killed the soldier. Now it says, it's verse 26, it says, esteeming, well, let's read 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. Now, what the flesh sees, even when we read it, is he ran for his life. He spent 40 more years in the wilderness running from Pharaoh, hiding out. But that's not what faith saw. Faith saw the end result. I was convinced that I had God here. And this is one of the several, but this one I was sure, because it says the opposite of what it says in the Old Testament. He didn't refuse to. He didn't forsake Egypt for fearing the wrath of the king. Well, anyway, you see where I'm going. But let's go on. In verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab refused, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me of Gideon, to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better a resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, so
I can see that their point here, all this stuff that happened, all this excitement and testing and suffering happened because of reproach.
Amen. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ. That's what we have to share in. He then being God of the world, King of the world. If you believe, you will speak. It's not possible to not speak if you believe. If you're not sure yet, if you're testing things, that's fine. I'm not concerned with that. Just as Isaiah, when you try not to speak, fire burns inside you and you can't help it. And how I wanted to do this alone. I loved the radio thing because I could just throw out grenades, you know. So So this whole, the whole thing, bearing his reproach outside the camp, it must be done. And you can't bear his reproach unless you speak his words. Amen. Take a big guy.